left off on Zion on the base, few lines from the bottom. The Gemara is commenting on the pasuk of Chumash Lo Takir Uponim Bamishpat. So the Gemara has different interpretations. How do you translate the word Lo Takiru? So one interpretation is Lo Takirehu, means to recognize one person over the other one and to favor one as opposed to the other one. Then the Gemara has another interpretation, Lo Sinakrehu, Yiloshen Nochri. You shouldn't estrange one of the Balei Dinim. Rashi writes in Husanacho, if you dislike one of them, you shouldn't treat them like a stranger. You shouldn't give them a hard time. In Yiddish folklore, they tell about some true story. Not folklore. They tell a true story that some great Talmud Chacham, whenever he used to have his interpreter, he used to put the talus over his head and over his eyes. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the Dayanim have to sit Batifa out of Kavod Ashkina, because we assume that the Shekhinah is going to be there, like the Gemara says on the bottom of Avam Eveg. So the Dayanim is supposed to sit Batifa, either Batifa with a talus over the head, or Batifa with a hat, like the Shalot, the Tiske Chudon Chesh Mishpah. You mentioned Tiske Chudon Chesh Mishpah, we go to the Shalot, like when we dive in Mincha Meir, we wear a hat. Shachris, they wore the talus over the head. Mincha Meir, they wear a hat. So he says, Dayanim have to sit Batifa. So this is a big Talmud Chacham, this is a true story. When he had a dintar, he used to wear the talus over his head, hang down over his eyes. He didn't want to look at the Balei Dinim. Why? Because it says, La Sakir upon my Mishpat. You're not allowed to see anybody. You're not allowed to recognize anybody. What's that? This? Because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Bishosha Balei Dinim Om the Melachanach Yeo Benecha Kirishoyim. When the Balei Dinim are presenting their cases, you should treat them as if they're both suspect, as if they're both criminals. You shouldn't take anybody's word for anything. Everybody has to prove whatever claims he has against the other one. And if you have to treat them both as Rishoyim, so there's a Gemara that says, also let's tackle Bifnei Adam Rasha. You're not allowed to look at the facial features. You're not allowed to look in the face of an Adam Rasha. So he didn't want to look at either Baldin, so he wore the talus over his head. It's a humorous practice. The Pashtus says that it's not right. Pashtus says that when the Baladinim present their case, you have to, the Dayanim have to stare them in the face and look at the facial expressions that they make when they tell over their claims. Sometimes he can tell whether he's telling a lie based on the way he's screaming, or the way the other one says something to him. And what facial reactions does he have at the time that the whole dinner is going on? So how can you be done a blind? The Gemara has later, a blind man can't serve as a dayan and be the mamnes. Part of judging the case is to look at the people, like a deaf person, if he can't hear. They can't hear the tone of voice in which the person is saying is tainus. You have to be able to hear the tone of voice, you have to be able to see the facial expression. So the Pashtus says that it's a shver and midas chasidus. The other Gedolim didn't have this midas chasidus, to wear the talus over their eyes, not to look at the Balei Dinim in the face. You have to distrust both of them, not to have such trust in both of them. I trust them both, I just want to hear the tainus. No, you have to that's the Mishnah. You have to distrust both of them equally, and try to be, you have to be choshed everybody, and try to figure out who's telling the truth. If this Rav trusted both of them, faket. If it says in the Mishnah, you're supposed to distrust both of them, not to trust both of them, and figure out what the psak is based on the time. Anyway, that's the Gemara doesn't have that pshat, that you're not allowed to look at the Balei Dinim. Then Gemara tells a story that on one occasion, Rav's landlord came to him, former landlord. So he says, "Hi, Rabbi, I'm your landlord." So he says, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" So he says, "Remember, I used to be a landlord." He says, "Yeah." He says, "I need a din Torah now." So he says, "I'm not allowed to be your dime. Silna loch ledina." Why is it silna loch ledina? Rashi says, "He's kartani tayvosko." Since you mentioned that I once stayed by, apparently not a landlord, he's left over by him. Since he once did him a favor, even though the favor that he did was not in order to get him to paskan a din Torah in his favor, the favor he did was years ago, that he put him up in his home or gave him a break in his rent or something like that. But still, since he mentioned it now, Rashi says, "He's kartani tayvosko." He mentioned the fact that he did me a favor. That's also a psul of sheichad. What's the din of sheichad? The Gemara says in the end of Tzubit, also give sheichad is in the end of Tzubit, not kufay. The Gemara says sheichad is miloshon shehu chad, that you and I become one. If you bribe me, then I become one with you. And then I can't give a straightforward psak. So not only if he gave me bribery, he say shulchad. If you mentioned to me that you once did a taiva for me in the past, even though that taiva was not done l'shem shoychad, that was done before you even had the asik, before the whole case began, still, the Gemara says that he shouldn't be done. So Tosafot points out that this is only a chumra. Mikra din is really kosher. Marcha kayatzi. This is a personal chumra. Av mikra din loy nifsa. Tosafot says in the end of Tzubi, you have a lot of cases in the Gemara, and it's all really mikra din. It's really not possible to lodun. It's a midas chasidus not to be done. Then the Gemara tells the comment on the pasuk kakoton kakodol tishmaun. What does that mean? You should treat big cases and small cases equally. Kakoton kakodol. Small cases should be treated the same. Shehei chaver alecha din shal pruta kedin shal me'amon. If there's a dintar about a penny, or if there's a dintar about $100,000, $500,000, same thing. You should treat them both equally. The Gemara wants to know the ma'ilchasa. What is the pasuk referring to? Ilema. If he should say that you have to think about it and come up with the correct psak, shouldn't just say off of the top of your head. The Gemara says, Shita, why do I really need a pasuk for that? I mean, I would have thought that if it's only a small amount of money, you can say whatever you please. You don't have to think about it. Of course you have to think about it. They're coming for a din Torah. They're not coming to an oracle. Din Torah means they want to hear what the din, what the Torah has to say. What the Torah says, you have to be mine. So of course you have to be mine. And the Gemara says, no, the pasuk tells you la'agdume. Mazeh la'agdume. The Rashi translates la'agdume in bo lofanecha din shal pita v'chazer bo din shal din acher shal mone. Hakodem lofanecha hakdem lachtom. The case that was brought first should be taken care of first. La'agdume. Whichever case comes first should be taken care of first. What is the basis of that din? Whichever case comes first should be taken care of first. Some aim of here and mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to judge a din Torah. If you judge it properly, if you give an honest tzak, so it's a mitzvah on the part of the dayan to judge a din Torah properly. So if you already started one case, Baladin and priest started to present one case, so then there's a din of aim of here and mitzvahs. So what if? What if the second mitzvah is much more important than the first mitzvah? You still say Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs. Maybe Eim Avir Nala Mitzvah only applies if the mitzvahs are equal. But if the second mitzvah is more important than the first, then it doesn't apply. So it's more beferish not so. Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs, even if the second mitzvah is way more important than the first mitzvah. Once you started the first mitzvah, so that's the one and only most important mitzvah in the whole wide world. The other mitzvahs fade into insignificance. They don't exist. They're bar hashus. So what would I have thought over here? I mean, that's what this pasuk tells us. I know I'm my own name, I've here in Allah mitzvahs, but I would have thought that that only applies if the both cases are going to be equal in importance. But if one case is only a pruta, the other case is mei amon, $100,000, I would have thought that that mitzvah, that the din Torah on the $100,000 is a bigger mitzvah, more chashuv a mitzvah, but you're gonna make a din Torah on more money. I would have thought it was a more important mitzvah, and therefore the din of eim avir nala mitzvah shouldn't apply. It should be mafsik, the less important mitzvah, in order to do the more important mitzvah. So that's what the pasuk tells me, that it's not true, that the din of eim avir, that's what it means, that the din of eim avir nala mitzvah applies even if the later mitzvah, even if the mitzvah amaisikin is less important.
But the mitzvah is the same.
Lodun is the same. Yeah, why should I have thought? And even if you would have thought that the din of a me'amone is a more important mitzvah, the Gemara in Sukkah at the end of the second parak has other psukim to teach that. That whenever you're isikin, whenever you started observing the less important mitzvah, even if the other one is more important, even if you won't never get a chance to come back to it, the mitzvah that I'm doing now, Eim Avir Nala Mitzvah, even applies. The mitzvah that I'm doing now, Gemara calls it Hoisik B'Mitzvah Patam Nala Mitzvah. Eim Avir Nala Mitzvah usually means that the expression that I use not so good. Eim Avir Nala Mitzvah usually means if I have a lulav in this room, and then there's a lulav at the end of the hall, And I can either be yoytze with this lulav or that lulav, then it is ein avira na mitzvah. I should use this lulav. Or the Gemara has a menachas when they're going to bring the minchas haomer. So the Bez Nagar goes and they want to harvest the barley somewhere. Minchas haomer is bomen asorim. So they want to harvest the barley. So there's barley right on the outskirts of the Yerushalayim, and then there's barley 25 miles away from Yerushalayim. So if you can use the barley here, why should you go all the way over there? If you can use this chetzah to serve the chetzah shal mitzvah, why go further to use a different chetzah? But that's what the Gemara calls Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvah. Or when the Kohen comes out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when you have Chatos HaPnimiyos, most of the Korban Chatos are done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Once in a long, long while, you have a Chatos HaPnimiyos. That these Rikas are done in the Heichol. Sometimes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim also, but the Rikas are done in the Heichol also. So when the Kohen comes out, he has the Shiori HaDam, he has the leftover Dam. So he's supposed to be Shofach on the Yisoid HaMizbeach. So the Mizbeach has four different sides. So which is so should he pour out? So the Mishnah learns that from Sukkim that by the Chatos HaPnimiyos, normally all karbanos that are brought in the Mizbech HaChitzon, the Shvicha Shirayim, the leftover dam, you pour on the Yisod Hadromi, on the southern side, on the right, on the left side. And you're looking straight ahead in the Beis HaMikdash, so straight ahead is west and to the right is north. The more important side is Tzofen, Kachim is Shchitos HaTzofen, Kirdam HaKoshoyt HaTzofen. And then the less important half of the Azar is the left side. So the Kevish is on the left side of the Mizbeach. When the Kohen comes down from the Kevish, he takes the cup, he takes the Kusharis that has the leftover dam, and he pours it, the Shvich HaShirayim, and he says, Deroimi, Shalom Mizbeach HaChitzam. But if it's Chatos HaPnimiyos, if the Zrikas HaDam of the Korban, the Chatos is in the Heichol, the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Heichol, then when he comes out, so the Gemara says, Who the Pogabe Bereisha? He does the Shvich HaShirayim, and he says, Marovi. On that you saw it. So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. So what do you need a pasuk? Shouldn't that be governed with the din of Eim Avirin al Amistus? Have you said my Rabbi? Have you said Raimi? Have you said Sfoini? Have you said Mizrahi? Have on all four sides of the Mizbeach you have Yisoid. Yisoid wasn't there on the whole, the big chunk of Yisoid was missing. But on every side of the Mizbeach, there was on these two sides, on the western side and the northern side, there was, he said, the whole 32 Amas of the Mizbeach. And then over here, there was only one Amah out of the 32, and here there was a one Amah out of the 32, but there was a Yisod on all four sides. So Tosis discusses, why do you need a Pasuk to teach you that the Shvich HaShirayim by the Chatos HaPnimiyos is on the Yisod Marav? You wouldn't have known that on my own. Isn't that governed by, shouldn't that be governed by the Din of Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvahs? The Tosfos gives different answers, and one of the answers that Tosfos gives is, that's Rav Soloveitchik liked that answer. One of the answers that Tosfos gives is a very interesting one. To use Rav Soloveitchik's mashal, let's say there's a lulav over here, there's a tall lulav. So I'm standing next to the table, and I can hold on to the lulav like this. But let's say the bottom of the lulav is over there, the tip of the lulav is facing me. So I can pick up the lulav by leaning over, you have to hold the kederach d'ilosim. So I can either pick it up here and then turn it upside down, the way it's supposed to, the correct way, or I can walk around the other side and pick it up there. You're going to say, Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvahs. You have to pick up the lulav, since he's standing here, you have to pick up the lulav here. You can't walk around to the other side. Why not? I'm afraid I may break the lulav. I'll pick it up from the tip. Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvahs means I have a lulav here and I have a lulav down the hall. So this, I say, I should perform the mitzvah with this lulav as opposed to the other lulav. But this lulav, the one lulav that I have, what's the difference? But I hold it this way, I go to the other side and hold it on that side. So the yisoid on Mizbeach, it's not for the pasuk of what I thought, it's all long, one big yisoid. One big yisoid goes one amah here, 32 amahs here on the western side, 32 amahs on the northern side, and one amah sticking in over here. So it's one yisoid. So what's the difference? What, the yisoid is on this side, that side, this side, that side, it's all the same thing. What are you going to say? Ema v'er nala mitzvah, you should use the cheftish on mitzvah that you bumped into first. It's all one chepta, it's all one yisoid. So that's why the pasuk has to tell me not that yisoid maravi is a separate chepta, and yisoid svaini is a separate chepta, and yisoid deroimi is a separate one, and yisoid mizrahi is over here, this time is separate. So once you declare that it's a separate yisoid, even though it's one big yisoid, but yisoid maravi is separate, so then the mela, I know that it's covered with the din of Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvah. Yeah, so strictly speaking, this is not really Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvah. Eim Avir and Alam Mitzvah means you have two chavtas. You can either do the mitzvah with this chavta with another chavta, so do it with the first chavta. It's a similar klal. It's a different klal. Here the klal is hoisik the mitzvah patam and mitzvah. When you're middle of performing one mitzvah, so you're not obligated to be mafsik to do a different mitzvah, even if the other mitzvah is more important, and even if the other mitzvah is a mitzvah shezman oiveres. If you won't be mafsik to do the from doing the first one, you lose your opportunity to do the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah, you only have the next 5 minutes to do. First mitzvah, you got all day to do. So why not be mafsik the first mitzvah, do the second, then go back and do the first? So the Gemara says no. Then toisik the mitzvah patam and mitzvah. And the Ritzvah adzan and sukkah, the toisik mitzvah patam and mitzvah. Since you're patam from, you're not obligated to be mafsik the first mitzvah, to perform the second mitzvah. So the second mitzvah is treated like a dvarashus. They says it's forbidden. The mele is forbidden. You're not permitted to be mafsik in the middle of the first mitzvah in order to perform the second mitzvah. So lechor, it's the same over here. No, he's in the middle of performing the first mitzvah. Namely, he started tvabod lefanecha. Tvabod lefanecha din shal pruta. He's in the middle of the din Torah. He already started. The baladinim started their case. Tvabod lefanecha din shal pruta. He already started the first case. He's an oisik the mitzvah. So shouldn't I say he should be potter from the second mitzvah? Why do you really need a pasuk to tell me? I would have thought the second mitzvah is more important because it's a me'amana. But the Gemara says there in Sukkah, Isik mitzvah patam and mitzvah, even if the second mitzvah is much more important than the first. Second mitzvah is yesh b'koris, and the first mitzvah is ein b'koris. That's a carbon test on. Still, Isik mitzvah patam and mitzvah. You do the first mitzvah that you bump into first, even if it means that you'll just have to forego performing the second mitzvah. Why do you need a pasuk over here? Well, let's just say that's only over there. Hoisik mitzvah, patam and mitzvah, when they're different mitzvahs. They're different mitzvahs, so they're really competing with each other. There's a mitzvah to be metamit to design kroivim, and then there's a mitzvah to bring a korban pesach. So if you're going to be metamit to design kroivim, you can say goodbye to the korban pesach. You're going to become tummy, you won't be able to bring the korban pesach. If you're going to do the first mitzvah, you'll have to forego the second mitzvah. So I said mitzvahs are competing with each other, so that's not loch. Isaac mitzvah A is potter from mitzvah B. But if mitzvah B is the same mitzvah as mitzvah A, like over here, din Torah A, din Torah B, it's all the same din Torah. And the second din Torah is even bigger than the first din Torah. It's me'amana. The first one was only a dollar. Maybe that's the habamina. Who would have thought that Isaac mitzvah, potter from mitzvah doesn't apply when it's the same mitzvah? It only applies when they're competing mitzvahs, different mitzvahs. So that's what kamash malon. That is not so. That even though it's exact, even though it's the same mitzvah, you still say ha'isik mitzvah, patman mitzvah, and patman mitzvah means also lahafsik. He's not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the first mitzvah in order to do the second mitzvah. It's problematic. Why do you need a pasuk like dume? Why wouldn't I have known on my? I wouldn't have known on my own. Let's say the hours are 9 to 3. The bezin has hours 9 to 3. So they come, the dayon come 9 o'clock, and then people are waiting online. Waiting online, that's a different story. I mean, the first guy waiting online has a din Torah of apruta. The next guy waiting online has a din Torah of me'amana. But I didn't start the first case yet. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. That's not what Rabbi Lak doing. It doesn't mean he's waiting online first. First comes first serve. That's a different Gemara. That's the Gemara later, Lamed Beis. It's a different discussion. Now people are waiting in line. So is there such a rule? In America, that's the rule, first come. In America, so you wouldn't believe, you wouldn't think that that's the rule. It doesn't look enough. People waiting in line for their bus and bank, and then someone else runs and they grant you a spot. So that's a different discussion. How do you know that first come, first serve? That's a different discussion. But the Gemara is not talking about that over here. Was talking, Rashi says, like, no, Bolof Anecha Din Shal Pruta. He already started the first case. That should be ruled, governed with the rules of Ha'isik B'mitzvah, Pata Min HaMitzvah. And Pata means Asa. The Ritzvah says Asa. The Maram Shik has a tshuva that he quotes that Ritzvah and he passes Aloha like that Ritzvah. He thinks that that's the din, that it's like the Ritzvah. It's forbidden to the Mafsik in the middle. As a tshuva to one of the rabbanim was the Mamshik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer in Hungary at the beginning of the Reform movement. So one of the rabbanim had a rabbanim there, and his main occupation was fighting Reform to preserve the the religious character of the community. So he was bored with this. That's not what he learned in the yeshiva. He learned in the yeshiva, Gemara, with Marsha, with the Pilpul. And he wanted to give a shiur in Daf Yomi, something. He wanted to learn. He wanted to pass the Shilas, and most of his day was, he was wasting all of his time fighting reform. So in the middle of nowhere, he got an offer to move to Eretz Yisrael, a Rabbonis in Eretz Yisrael, where there was no reform at that time. And just be a normal Rabbonis, and sit ala Terev ala Voida, and pass the Shilas, and give shiurim, and that's what he always wanted. So he packed his bags, and he was ready to leave, and he sent a letter to his Rebbe, that he's leaving his Rabbonis, and he asks for a bracha. So the Mamshik sends him back a letter that I can't give you a bracha. I think you're not allowed to leave. And he included this in the Shabbos Shos Mamshik, Chelik Yeredeh, by Rabbonis. So he says, Oisik Mimitzah, Fata Manamitzah. He says, when you were learning in the yeshiva, we wouldn't have the right to draft you, to force you to take a Rabbonis. If you want to go into business, he's into hate. But you volunteer on your own. You wanted to Rabbonis. So he says, you're successful in the Rabbonis. So you're not allowed to leave to do different mitzvah. Even though maybe that's a bigger mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael and to pass Mishailis and to give shiurim. Doesn't matter. The halacha is oisik in mitzvah. Potem and mitzvah. One is oisik in mitzvah A. He's not permitted. He's not obligated. And maybe the ritva says he's not permitted to be mafsik. To be mevatel from mitzvah A and move on to mitzvah B. And he says that his rebbe, the Chassam Sefer, always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. He was born in Frankfurt, he was raised in Frankfurt. He always signs his chulis, Moshe HaKotin be Frankfurt. That's some stuff he always signs. So he was a rabbi in Hungary, so he always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. So after many years of being the rabbi in Hungary, in Pressburg, he was offered the rabbonis in Frankfurt, so he was considering going. And then when the Balabatim in Pressburg heard about it, they came and they pleaded with him, Rebbe, how can you leave? Who's going to fight the reform? And they convinced him that they won't succeed in getting someone as sharp as he was. So he felt okay, he's not allowed to leave. So the Mamshik explains that's the pshat, and why the Rebbe said he's not allowed to leave, because of this din.
Does
it mean
that you,
that,
I don't know,
it's
a very short, you won't be able to do the first of all?
Even if I will be able to. Even if the second mitzvah is as manoi veris, I only have the next 5 minutes to do it. If I don't do the next 5 minutes, I lose it. And the first mitzvah, I got all the time in the world to do it. Still, the din is that you're not obligated. The fastings, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the first mitzvah to perform the second mitzvah. That's the Maram Shik that Rav Chaim Oizer quoted to Rav Kook. Cook had made an arrangement that Rabbi Moses should retire to Eretz Yisrael, and he would give him a position, and they got an apartment for him, and he would give him a position that he would be honorary chief rabbi, whatever, and he would have a Bekovadika position. And then Rabbi Moses was holding by leaving Europe, and then the last minute he backed out and he sent him a letter that he feels that he's not allowed to go because they told him that he's still needed in Europe, and so he said b'mitzvah potem and amitzvah. And he quotes this Maram Shik. So that's the problem in this Gemara. Why do you need the pasuk to tell you the agdume? Why do you need the pasuk lagdume? Why isn't it the regular? Unless you say that it's the same mitzvah. I would have thought that Eretz mitzvah plus mana mitzvah only applies when they're competing mitzvahs. But if it's the same mitzvah, then maybe the klal doesn't apply Eretz mitzvah plus mana mitzvah. Like we'll be speaking last week. What's the din of Eretz mitzvah plus mana mitzvah by Talmud Torah? By Talmud Torah, so Yerushalmi says you don't say the fellow is busy learning, so he doesn't have to daven mincha, and he doesn't have to count sfira, and he doesn't have to daven maariv, and he doesn't have to eat matzah and maariv. Just sit and learn psachim. He doesn't have to do any mitzvah. So Yerushalmi says you don't apply ha'isik mitzvah patam and mitzvah. The Talmud Torah, the Bavli says the same thing, but Yerushalmi gives a hezbo why. Yerushalmi says because if you'll say ha'isik mitzvah patam and mitzvah, then it'll come out that he's loymet shaloy amanas lasa. He's learning, and he's not the learning. There's a madrega to learning, even though you never become a dayan. We're learning Sanhedrin. Even if one will never become involved in a din Torah, it's still an inyan to learn halacha. Even if it's not megel halacha, but if a person learns lemon amenas lasa, he said that enhances the Talmud Torah. So that's what the Yerushalmi seems to say when they say heretic mitzvah patam and amitzvah, when they're competing mitzvahs and they're two different mitzvahs. So if you're mafsik in the middle of mitzvah A to do mitzvah B, that's not proper. But if he's mafsik in the middle of mitzvah A to do mitzvah B, which enhances mitzvah A, it's a hemshech of mitzvah A. It turns out that it's loyman al menas lasos. But then then there's no competition between the two mitzvahs. Then you don't say, oh, is it mitzvah A is potter from mitzvah B? Mitzvah B is a chelik on mitzvah A. So maybe that would have been a havamina here, that I would have thought that all dinei Torah, basically, it's the same mitzvah to judge a case properly, to judge a dinei Torah. And I would have thought that the second dinei Torah is a bigger mitzvah. I would have thought that there's no issur, there's no din of oisik mitzvah, potter from mitzvah, that it's also for him to be mafsik. So the mashma on the pasuk, that it's not so. Okay. The Rabbani Shalom says, not bad enough that if you have wicked judges, they take the money from this person and they give it to the wrong person, they're gamzer, but they matriach me, they matriach the Rabbani Shalom. The Rabbani Shalom decides at the beginning of the year how much money he should make and how much money he should make. And this guy made an extra $100 because of the interior that was determined improperly. So lo dayin lo rishayim, not bad enough. Shenet le mizem mamun osin azeh, shaloi kidin, the dayanim, the crooked dayanim. They take the money, they give it to the other one, shaloi kidin, the matriach ni, I made a gzar din at the beginning of the year how much money he should make and how much money he should make. And now he's out $100 and he has an extra $100. The Rabbani Shalom says, they make me stand on my head. Now I'm going to have to see to it that he's going to get an extra increase in salary. He should get an extra $100 for this year only. And I have to somehow see to it that I have to take away the $100 from the other guy because he took the money. Shalom Kedin. Machich Mosi Lachta Mama Lebolos. Adav Shik Shemikem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Dayanim when they had Hamadah Sadayan, he says, when you have a Shvera Din Torah, come to me. So the Gemara says that he was punished. Adav Zananish Moshe. Because Rashi writes, not all thoroughly atzma, a little bragging, a little too much. He shouldn't have spoken like that. Whatever shver, come to me and I'll resolve everything. So that's why he was punished, and that's why Yaakov Moshe's mishpatan of Hashem, he didn't know what the answer was. So the Gemara says, why should he deserve to be punished? He didn't say anything. Just said, sheikh shemikem takriven alai ushmativ, and I'll listen. If I'll know, I'll know. If I don't know, I don't know. He didn't say anything that's too difficult, you come to me and I will resolve all the difficult issues. He didn't say that. He says, I heard directly, I had a better Rebbe than you have. I heard from the Rebbe Shalom. You just heard from me. I didn't tell you over all the demons. And maybe if a Shiloh comes up that's too difficult for you, don't know the answer, come to me. Maybe I will have heard it from the Rebbe Shalom. If I will not have heard it from the Rebbe Shalom, I'll also be in the same boat as you. So I'll ask the Rebbe Shalom for an avuah, but he didn't. You don't see that it's not called gedula liyatma. You don't see that it's a statement of arrogance. Miksiv yashmiyachem doesn't say I will pass him. Vishmatim siv. I'll listen. Igmir nigmir. If I will have heard it from the Rebbe Shalom, I'll tell you over what I heard. Iloi. And if I have not yet heard it, azil nevir. I'll go to the Rebbe Shalom and ask him. What's the din? I'll go back to the source and ask the Rebbe Shalom. What's the din? So why vayakra moshes mishpatan lefnei Hashem? The first opinion in Gemara says that this was a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu because he spoke with a little too much arrogance. So that's the punishment was that soon after the Torah came up and he didn't know the answer and he takya had a. So the Baal Shalom demonstrated that you're not so smart. He thought that, you know, well, all the Shverdin, and here I'm going to show you that you don't know yourself. But according to the second Tana, who says that he didn't, or the Amora, Nachma Yitzchak. Amori says that he didn't say anything improper. He doesn't see any improper language over here. So why wasn't Parshas Nachlos given directly by Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not know the din? Since he's allocated Tanya, really Parshas Nachlos should discuss away that Moshe Rabbeinu really should have been like the rest of the Torah. You didn't have to wait till the Shiloh came up and then Moshe Rabbeinu had asked the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And it says because of the Shiloh he asked and they found out what the din is. All the other dinim, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the din and he says it over. So really, Parshas Nachlo should have been the same as the rest of the Torah. They were Noshim Tzadkonius, the Benoit Tzilovka, they wanted to get a share in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says they were Noshim Chachmonios. Rashi quotes from the Gemara that had a whole argument, Imanov Shach, if the daughters count, so let's get a Yerusha. If the daughters don't count, so our mother should do Yibum. Tisyabe mimenu. The Adam Imanasha. Not such an Eisen on Imanasha, but that's Rashi talks in the Gemara. Noshim Chachmani will tell you that they came with an Imanasha. Whether the daughters count or the daughters don't count. So the Achrayim is not such a hot Mimanavshach because there is an opinion in the Rishonim that a mamzer doesn't get Yerusha. The Mishnah says in Yivamis Mishyesh Lamein Mikama Kampote Sishtam and Achalitim and Ayim. If a man was married and he dies and he leaves no children, then his wife either has chalitza yid. What if he has a child by any form or fashion whatsoever? Mishesh lebein mikomakom, whether from this wife or from a different wife or from a girlfriend or from a eshesish, he has a child from unless chutz min avlad min ashitcha min anochris. If he had a child from anochris or a shitcha knainis, so the bein is not misyachis achra. But if he has a child from an eshesish, and the child is a mamzer, so the Gemara says, "Latsuya mamzer." That's why the Mishnah uses the expression "Mishesh lebein mikomakom." Any son, poter sishtem and ayibim, menachalitza menayibim. Then there's no din of chalitza v'ayibim. Mishnah didn't want to say "Mishesh lebein mamzer," poter sishtem and achalitza menayibim. It's not loshen nekiya, so the Mishnah uses a euphemism, "Mishesh lebein mikomakom." However, he has a child. That's what it means. "Mishesh lebein mamzer," poter sishtem. So, what the din does a mamzer get Yerusha? Why not? Why should a mamzer get Yerusha? So there's one opinion in Rishon that a mamzer doesn't get Yerusha. Why not? Because the pasuk says, you just learned it the other day in Chumash. Kisiyena li yishtein ashim ha'achas ha'huvava ha'achas nu yolda labonim ha'huvava ha'asno ha'abin ha'mcha lasnua lasnia. So it says that Yerusha goes to the Pchor. So the Gemara understands that not pasuk kisiyena li yish kisiyena means that there's tzisis kiddushin. And the snua means snua b'nisueho. That it's a forbidden marriage. So the Gemara derives from this pasuk that there's a echetim for kiddushin atovsin biyishu ha'asura. So that's the machloek zatanim. How far does it go? So if it's a chavi krisis, then we say all the tanaim agree and kiddushin atovsin mechavi krisis. So the pasuk is not talking about such a case that the man married a chavi krisis and he has a child that the child gets yerusha. The pasuk is not talking about that. The pasuk is either talking about chavi lavin. The kiddushin isha ahuva means ahuva b'nisueha. That's a fine marriage. That's a permissible marriage. It's a beloved marriage, a blessed marriage. And the snua b'nisueha means a prohibited marriage. That he's married to a woman who's a chavi lavin. But despite the fact that she's a chavi lavin, kiddushin atovsin, and the child gets the yerusha. And Rabbi Akiva says, "En kiddushin tovsin b'chavi lavin," and he holds that the vlad is a mamzer. So the pasuk is not talking about that case. The pasuk is only talking about kiddushin atovsin. So it's talking about Chayve yesterday, it's talking about Isuri Kuhuna, whatever, the whole discussion in the Gemara. Who is it talking about? See, so the Shulpi Gibarim and Yesh Noichwin and Boba Basra quotes an opinion from the Rishonim that you see from that Gemara in the beginning of Temura that this parashi, Kisiyen Aliyish, is talking about a man is married to a woman, Beheter, or a woman, Beitzer, with Kiddushin Tovsin. But if it's ain't Kiddushin Tovsin, then the Chumash is not talking about such a case. Now that's the source that says that the children get Yerusha, that the Pchor is entitled to Pishnai. So it would appear, it might appear, not necessarily, it might appear from the Pesukim that a Mamzer doesn't get Yerusha, a Mamzer doesn't get Pishnai. Maybe that a Mamzer doesn't get Pishnai. We don't pass from like that either. That a Mamzer doesn't get Pishnai, a Mamzer does get Pishnai. But there is one opinion in Rishon, since the whole source of Pishnai is that Parsha, and it says snua b'nisueha, but it says snua, not so snua. It's not a chavi krisis that's a kiddushin tovsin. It's only talking about a chavi lavin, unless a case with kiddushin tovsin. So maybe we should infer from the drasha sagemara that a mamzer doesn't get pishnai. So you see that it's possible to have someone who's not entitled to yerusha, and he still patters the mother menachalitza menayim. So that's what they tell you. What was the Mimonim Shech of the Menorah Tzlochot that they said, if the daughters count, so then we should get Yerusha. And if the daughters don't count, then let our mother do Yibum. It's not a Mimonim Shech. It's not such a Givaldik Atayna. Maybe the daughters don't count Benegeet to Yerusha, like the Mamza, and maybe Benegeet to Yibum, Mishesh Labay Mikamakam, but the Sishna Menachadis Marim, that's included in Mikamakam, even a daughter. Anyway, that's a kasha that Achrayim have on the Mimon of Shaf. Why does the Gemara consider B'nai Selochan as Chachmanius Hayu, that they had, they learned in one of these seminaries, but they must have learned a lot of Gemara. They knew how to learn. So Abgefrek, the whole Shtigal Perah that they said, going to the Shilta Gibar, they forgot a Shilta Gibar. The Mimon of Shaf is not a God. No. So what do you expect from them? Kasha. What does the Gemara say? So the second opinion says in the Gemara, they don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke improperly. He didn't say, if it's too difficult for you, just come to me and I'll solve all the world's problems. It's too difficult. Maybe I heard it from the Rosh Lama and I didn't tell it over to you. If I heard it, I heard it. I'll tell you. If I didn't hear, I'll ask the Rosh Lama. He didn't. There's no act of arrogance here. And the Gemara says, no. Why? It wasn't a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu that he didn't know the answer by the B'nai Slavchad. It was to give reward to the B'nai Slavchad. They deserve to go down in history as the ones who asked the Shiloh. Like we have different Shadas of Chuvas in every generation of Shadas of Chuvas. So a lot of times they write, many of the Shadas, they write who the Shilas were sent from, who the Shiloh was. Dear so-and-so. But sometimes Ramosha Feinstein and Nadi Behud and all the Gdano, some surface, they write all kinds of titles about a certain person, about a balabas, a rabbi, whatever. So these people went down in history. This tshuva was sent to them. Saying this person, this tshuva was sent to them. So they must have done something to deserve to go down in history. So that's what the Gemara says, that there were certain people in Tanakh who went down in history. So they went down in history, that they were the ones who asked the Shaila about Yusha. And the Pesach was given. And the Rikoshesh was the reverse. He was a Noizvorf, he was a good for nothing. And he went down in history, El Shinis Chayiv HaMakoshesh, he deserved the punishment, he deserved Bizyonis, V'nichtav Al Yodai. So the Shiloh of Chilul Shabbos, what punishment does the Egypt and the Mechal Shabbos? And the answer was given, the given Skila, so that's the Shiloh Tshuva of the Makoshesh. He goes down in history.
So he really wasn't taking it for himself. It just was expressed wrong.
Right. I mean, the first opinion says, what did he say that was wrong? So he should have said, we'll bring it to the Baruch. He didn't say, Takrivun, I lie. The way he said it sounds like that's what he meant. That's what he meant. Takrivun, I lie, and either I'll know it or I'll ask the Baruch. But the way he said it, it sounds like I'm going to know all the answers. So the first opinion of Gemara that he spoke improperly. The Loshen that he said was improper. And the second one says he doesn't even see what's wrong with the Loshen. The Gagalim Schus Haideh, Zaka the Chod Haideh Chaim. Then it says, when he appointed all of these Dayanim, Yisrael gave the recommendation to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu gave instruction, Vatsava Shetechem Ba'isahi Leimar, Vatsava Eschem Ba'isahi Leimar. He gave instructions. Why did he give instructions to both Bnei Yisrael and to the Dayanim? So he says, Amar Ablozer, what it means is, Asar Tzibi Shetehim Asadayin Aleihem. He gave instructions to Klal Yisrael, even though these people are not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not me, but you have to have their heretz for them anyway, because they're going to judge you, and they know better than you know how to pass on the Shabbos. But then he gave an Asar to the Dayanim, Sheyizbol Esatzibur. That what it means, sheyizbol sovel. Sovel means to suffer along with the tshuva, that they're going to give him a hard time. When you have a din Torah, usually the baladinim give the dayanim a hard time. So Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the dayanim that they should prepare. They should prepare themselves to suffer at the hands of the baladinim. That's part of the job. That's what their salary is for. To take the bizyonis on the baladim. It was a chsidish rov from Galicia, I think. I forgot already what his name was. He ran away from the army and he was hiding in Brisk in Rav Chaim's basement or something. So he wrote a sefer with chsidish Torah, and then he writes this story in the middle of the sefer that he remembers that Rav Chaim gave him smicha. He said he was Baruch Chaim for a year or two, hiding in his basement from the army, from the gym. And then he says, on one occasion there was a b'mpera going on, and the people were cursing and screaming with such b'zyonis. And the Rab Chaim said calmly, okay, we're taking a break for today, we'll resume tomorrow. And so everybody went home. So he asked Rab Chaim, why don't you hit the guy over the head? Why don't you scream at him? Why don't you give him whistle? So he said, that's all part of the job. And he quoted the Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu used to be done all the people before Yitzro came with this idea of having Hamad Zayani. And they were saying the most nasty things about Moshe Rabbeinu. They were saying everything about Moshe Rabbeinu. Then he's having affairs with all the wives and this and that. And he's pocketing all the money. They were chashing him on everything from A to Z. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say anything. So that's part of the job. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the instructions, Lizbol Esatzibur. So you have to say, that's what Rab Chaim said. He called a recess in the Dintar. We'll resume tomorrow. He was hoping that by tomorrow they would calm down. They would stop cursing and screaming at him. Okay, they were screaming at him, not screaming at each other. They were screaming at Rab Chaim. And how, to what extent is the dying mechuyev to be soivel as hatzibur? So the Gemara says, "Kasha yista hoyim and esayamik." Like one is raising a little baby, put up with a lot of shtick from babies. So the dayan have to treat the bale dinim with kindness, even though they're abusive to the dayan. Then the Gemara works on the apparent contradiction between the two psukim. When Moshe Rabbeinu is giving instructions to Yeshua ben Nun, he says, "Ki atah savo es ha'ol." And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the instructions to Yeshua ben Nun, he says, "Ki atah savi es ha'ol." So the difference seems to be, "Omala Moshe le Yeshua, atah askenim shebidorim moim." You, "atah savo es ha'ol" means in ha'ol. You, together with the other rabbonim, you'll all lead the people together. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam had a different sheet there. The Rabbanu Shel Olam tells him, "Atah tavi es ha'ol," not together with his askenim shebidorim. Now, tul matkel v'hachal kod kodem. Take a stick and bop them over the head. Give them over the head. Dabar echad l'dor v'en shnei dabarim l'dor. You need one leader and that's all. So Yeshua ben Nun was appointed the leader. So it appears as if it's a machlekes between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a softy. He's such an onam. So he says, "Atov v'askenim shebedor. You together with the Rabbanim should lead the generation." And Rabbanu Shel Olam says, "No, don't be so soft. Don't be so kind. You need one person has to be in charge. Dabar echad l'dor, tul makal v'hachal kalkodim." You have to make up your mind what you think is right, and you force your opinion on the people. So Rav Zalba Soloveitchik has in the Sefer HaChumash that he doesn't think that it's a machloikis between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He thinks that they're talking about different aspects of the job. Yeshua ben Nun had to make halachic decisions, had to make political decisions. So when it came to the halachic decisions, so Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yeshua ben Nun was not the star student. The Medrash says, "Vado Pinchas memulach emenu." Pinchas was sharper in learning than Yeshua ben Nun. So why was Yeshua ben Nun appointed as the memale mokam of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Medrash says because Meretz Teino Yochel Pirius. Since he was mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's why he deserved to be his memale mokam. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the others were more learned. Pinchas was sharper in learning. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, when the Shiva comes up, consult with the other Rabbanim. Okay? You know how to learn also, but consult with the others. Atova has kenim shebedor. And the Rabbanim Shel Olam was talking about political decisions that have to be made. When it comes to political decisions, so you have to have one man in charge. If the king is always going to defer to the majority opinion, so you have a democracy, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. So, that time the Rabbanu Shalom said he's not for democracy. He said you have to have one person calling all the shots. Dabar echad l'dor. That's how Rabbi Avolah says. The Rabbanu Shalom was talking about the political decisions. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about the halachic decisions that would have to be made. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that doesn't appear. Another din that doesn't appear in the Mishnah. The brisa says, we're listing off different things on each loisha. So it says, in each loisha for zimun. Maza zimun? The bench mezuman. What does the mezuman have to do with our head? That's that Teledik Yerushalmi that we mentioned. The Rishalmi says, the Gemara in the Bavli, in the beginning of Shlosh Shachlu, has a suffix. Shlosh Shachlu Kachas, if three people ate together, Chayovim is on. What if you have Shnayim Shachlu Kachas, two people ate together? So the obvious in the Mishnah that they're not Chayovim is on. Is it optional? Is it a Rishus Lizaman? Or do you say it's not even a Rishus? So the Yerushalmi says that the Bavli comes to the conclusion not even a Rishus. Shnayim Shachlu Kachas, Mitzvah Lechalek. Each one has to bench on his own. You cannot have a mezuman at all. It's not even optional. And Yerushalmi says that it should depend on the machlekes whether Shnayim Shadon and the name din. The Shnayim Shadon and the name din. So the Yerushalmi seems to assume that Shnayim Shadon is Dafke Shnayim, not Chad. Taisus proof in the Bavli that the Bavli doesn't hold like that. Here, Taisus Haman base. Shnayim Shadon hold a Nachne Shnayim Shum Nafid Shnayim Havadez Machad. Who had the name of the Chad? Name din adin. Taisus proof that Chad Nami Kosher Bidiyevit. Not only Shnayim Shadon, Echad Shadon, but Yerushalmi holds not so. Yerushalmi holds that Shnayim Shadon, if the name Din is only Shnayim, so this Machloikis Amaroyim, whether Machloikis Shmuel and Rabach Barika, whether Shnayim Shadonu, the name Din or not, will have relevance whether Shnayim is Amnin. What's the Tzushtel? Why should there be a connection at all? Why do Yerushalmi think that there's a connection? The number of dayanim that you need for a din Torah is the number of people that you need to bench mezuzah. So, since we're in Torah, Rabbi Zalcharach has a long drasha. Has a sefer Emek Yoshua. He lived at a time, Rabbi Zalcharach lived at a time, Rab Chaim. There were so many gedolim who knew shas and shulchan aruch. So that wasn't the kunz. So the kunz was who knew Yerushalmi also. So that was his specialty. And he wrote the Chibran Yerushalmi, the Noyam Yerushalmi. And he always quotes Yerushalmi. And he always, and his koyach was, he knew how to be mechaber halacha with Agoda, with Bavli, with Yerushalmi, everything. His droshas are all, his tshuvas also, everything, all together. He has a whole drosha on this. What's the connection? Very strange here to Gemara also. It sounds like it's a braisa that's composed in connection with this Mishnah. This Mishnah is talking about Batei Dinim. How many people do you need for a bezin? So it says if you need three people, Zimun Bishloshim, my Zimun, let me bring a Zimun to bench Mizumin. So that wouldn't be such a pella that you have a Brisa that says you need a Bezin three to bench Mizumin. I would have not understood. What do you mean you need a Bezin of three to bench Mizumin? What has got to do with this? We're talking about how many people you need in a Bezin. What does Mizumin have to do? So that per se didn't bother the Gemara that you need a Bezin of three to bench Mizumin. So the Gemara says, but it just doesn't fit into the Brisa, because the Brisa says, V'hatanya, the Brisa means Zimun Bicha Zimun Bishlosha. Bicha Zimun is Mezuman, and Zimun means something else. I, unless you say, V'chitem Purushim Kamafarish, my Zimun Bicha Zimun. No, V'hatanya, you have another Brisa that says it twice, Zimun Bishlosha, Bicha Zimun Bishlosha. So it cannot be saying the same thing twice. Elamai Zimun Azmun Eladin, Bicha Zimun is correct. The Brisa comments on the Mishnah, you need a Bezin of three to bench Mezuman. Strangest thing. You get a bezna three to bench mezuman. Like the Yerushalmi. The bench of mezuman has something to do with a bezna. And the other line in the Brisa goes, to be mazmin to a din Torah. My zimun has muni l'din. Let's say we have a bezna. Whenever they need a din Torah, so we have a bezna, we have these three rabbanim, and they convene a bezna. And then someone calls up and he says, I'd like to have a din Torah. Who answers the telephone? The secretary. Secretary enters the telephone. The woman, the man, whoever. So the secretary sends a hazmana for a din Torah to the other party. What do you mean the secretary sends a hazmana? So is the other party mechuyev to come or not? So Gemara says it's not mechuyev. The hazmana has to be issued by a bezin. To send a hazmana is also a kerat bezin. The bezin can ask the secretary to please send a letter. Okay. But the secretary has to write a bezin of three convened. And they decided to call you to a din Torah, that you must appear before them. Not just that we have a bezin that meets on occasion, and I am the secretary, and I want you to come because the bezin will take care of your case. No, the bezin has to convene in order to send a hazmana. That's what the Gemara is saying. And a bit lost the time, they asked the shliach, yeah. The shliach bezin has to make it clear that the bezin convenes before they called them to a din Torah, before they made the hazmona. If he doesn't make it, even if the bezin did convene, but the shliach bezin who delivers the message doesn't make it clear to the baldin that the bezin has convened already, then you can't put the guy in chayim for not showing up. You can't penalize him. Maybe he didn't realize that the bezin had already convened. Because they never told him that in the name of all three. But if it's the Yom Medina, then everybody knows that the Bezin has convened today, and the Hazmona was sent from the Bezin, not just that the secretary sent the Hazmona, not just that one rabbi sent the Hazmona. Okay, let's talk about it. The Hazmona has to be, you have to have a Bezin of three convene in order to send the Hazmona. What's the next shtick of the Gemara? It's a strange Gemara. The Gemara wants to know that we have a din that a mumcha l'rabim dana fili yechidi, the top line on Hayamid Aleph. So the shayla is that din, mumcha l'rabim dana fili yechidi, does that apply even to din iknosis? So the Gemara says no. And they prove it from the Mishnah. The proof is that it's questionable. How do you see from the Mishnah? The Mishnah is not talking about Mumcha L'Rabim. The Mishnah is talking about plain Smuchim. What was the Gemara Sofik only was about Mumcha, not about a Mumcha L'Rabim, just about a Yochid Mumcha, plain Samuch. Of course it's not good enough. So how was there a Sofik? Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda had a Sofik that he asked of Rav Nachman bar Yair, Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu, what's the din? But a Yochid Mumcha can be done to us. It means a plain old Yochid Mumcha. What's the room to be mistopped? A mumcha l'rabim is what to discuss, and the din is that it's also no good, but that you can't prove in the Mishnah. Just a plain yochid mumcha, of course it's no good. That's the original passage, that three times Elohim says by din iknosis. Of course you need shlosh esvot. So I don't know. It's unclear exactly what the Gemara is trying to drive at. The next thing is a very famous sugya. Just to figure out what's going on over here, the famous sugya. How does it say in the mission? This is the sugya of Moitzi Shem Ra. Very negeh lahalocha. There's a famous tshuva in the Rebbe Yehuda, where he discusses halocha lamaisa. Do we paskin like the Rabbi Netama, or do we paskin like Rashi on these gemara? So let's go back to the mission. The Mishnah says that you need a bezna of three to be done. You need a Bezna 3 to be done Dini Mominus, and you need a Bezna 3 to be done Dini Mominus. It says the same thing, three times. So the Gemara says, the first time it says you need a Bezna 3 Mominus, that's Shlosha Hadyotos, that's Hadyotos Valvot. The second time it goes, Angzelos or Havolos, you need Shlosha Smuchim. And then the third time it's repeated, it says it by Knossos, that all the Knossos need Shlosha Smuchim. Why is the Taka repeated twice? Zelus achavolos need shloshes smuchim. You don't say shlichasayim zelus achavolos because you need. You only say shlichasayim if you have the musa the shchich of his bet chisar and kiss. And by definition, a knas means that there is no chisar and kiss. Yoytsim mashi easy. That's why Rashi writes knas. Deshe mishalim yoytsim idino. He pays more than he should be held responsible to pay. We pass from pal danis because also knas because tam shram am bechesh kashim mekani. Even though the Chatzinezik is less than the Hezik, but it's more than he should have been held responsible to pay. He really should have not been held responsible to pay anything. So what he pays by the Chatzinezik of Shortam is Yosem Mimashu Hoytzorach L'Shalom. That's Yosem Mimashu Hezik. It's always Yosem Mishalom Yosem Midino. Rashi writes as well. Yosem Midino. More than he should have been held responsible to pay. So why is it written twice? The Gzelos Ahavolos Bishlosh Osmuchim. And then it says Dinik Nos is also the Shlosh Esmuchim. Why is it repeated? There is a difference in Halacha. Let's say Gzeilos Achavolos, you need Shlosh Esmuchim to adjudicate the case. What if I know in my heart? I know that I'm guilty. I know that I owe him the money. I stole his money. I damaged his property. I beat him up. An armed robbery. And I know how much I owe. And there's nothing to debate. So then you don't need the Shlosh Esmuchim. If I know how much I owe, I should go pay on my own. Knas is a din that without a psak din of the bezdin, there isn't even a mitzvah losses yedei shemaim to pay the knas. That's the Gemara in Bavakama, and the Tosis in Ksuvah sounds like that in Elonaris. So maybe that's why the Mishnah has it separate. I don't know. That by knas, you need a bezdin, there isn't even an inyan if the ganef knows on his own that he owes the kefil dalad zehei. There isn't even a midas chasidus to pay on your own. You have to wait till after the bezin makes a gemar din, and then you pay. That's unlike zelus lahalos. That if he knows on his own that he is supposed to pay, you don't need a din tayr if the guy knows on his own that he owes. No mitzvah to waste everybody's time if you know how much you owe. But then the Mishnah goes by. The Chachamim Amrim, Motzi Shem Be'etzem Shlosh. So Oynes and Mefata are simply examples of Knas. So why is it repeated? It says already, Keso Dalud Dehei B'Shlosh. Oynes and Mefata is another example of Knas. So the Pashtus is only repeated because of the Motzi Shemra, because of the Machloikas, Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Oynes and Mefata is the same as before. That's Knas. Moiti Shemra is a machlokes hatanayim, whether it's bishloisha or b'esem hashloisha. What is oynes and mefata? What is oynes and mefata? If a boy and a girl decide they want to be mezana together, that's not oynes, it's not mefata. He doesn't say anything. Oynes means he attacks the girl, the single girl, pays hamishim shekel keser. Mefata means she was resisting. He kept on pressuring her until she finally agreed. But it's basically a form of oinus. He wasn't the anasa, b'shas maisa, he wasn't the anasa. It wasn't literally oinus, but he kept on breaking down her resistance by talking to her until she finally gave in. But it's also a form of oinus. So oinus and mefata, if the girl is mezana out of her own free will, he says, would you like to be mezana? She says, sure. So then he doesn't pay any chamishim shekel kesem. That's not oinus. It's not mefata. Mefata means he has to be some degree of pressure that he places on the girl. So oinus and mefata has to pay chamishim shekel kesef. And Motzi Shemra pays mea kesef. What's the din of Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra means if the Motzi Shemra that appears in Chumash, Motzi Shemra that we always talk about in Sukkos, Motzi Shemra normally means if the husband brings eidim. Rashi on the Mishnah writes. Rashi on the first Mishnah, Beis HaMinalach, writes Motzi Shemra. He refers you to the Parsha and Chumash. The husband brings Eidim who testified that the wife was Mizana during Eretzin, in which case she deserves an Oinish of Skilo, Naira Hamarosh, which is into the Skilo. And then the father brings two Eidim, who are Mazim, Eidi Habal, or the two Eidim come on their own. The father doesn't have to bring. If two Eidim come on their own, and they're Mazim, the Eidi Habal. So the Eidi Habal were attempting to give an Oynesh Misa to the Naira Hamarosa. So now that we were mazim them, so we give the Oynesh Misa to the Eidi Mizayimim. And because the husband attempted to kill his wife, so we give him Malkus, the Yisra Oso, the Yonsha Oso Mea Kesef, he has to pay 100 Sloim, 100 Shkolim to the father, Nasal Avi Anara, and Veloisi Elisha. That's all part of the oynish. That's all the package deal. There are three parts to the punishment. That he gets, there's one punishment on the Eidim, that the Eidim get an oynish misa because they were attempting to kill a Naira Hamarosa. That's the Eidim's punishment. And then because the husband bribed these witnesses, he paid them a bribe in order to come testify falsely, so that's why we have to punish the husband. So the punishment has three parts. First of all, he gets Malkus, the Yisra also, then the Yonsha also Meir Kesef, he has to pay 100 shkolim to the father, then Veloisi Elisha. That's a deal that Achrenim have. Veloisi Elisha, Pisei Tshuva raises the Shaila, and Afikayam discusses it. Afikayam is just before the Second World War, he discusses it also. There is a deal that Moida Biknas Tota. So let's say the husband is Moida on his own, that he bribed the witnesses and they gave Eidi Sheker. But you don't really have the Eidim who are Mazim, the Eidi Habal. So you would say, Moedi B'Knas is Potter, the husband can't give himself Malkus. Bezdin is not going to give Malkus based on the Hoidor's Baldin, that the husband admits that he bribed the Eidim to give Eidi Sheker and it's all false, that it's not true. His wife was never Mizana. So he won't make the husband pay the Meir Kesef, that's Knas, Moedi B'Knas is Potter, and you won't give the husband Malkus. What about Veloisi Elisha? What if the husband admits on his own? Let's say this man is there. The husband admits on his own that the Eidim that he brought were Eidi Sheker. So does he have a din of Eloisi Elisha? But he say, no, that's also a Knas. And Moedi B'Knas is Potter. You have to have Dafke Eidim. You're usually used to thinking of a Knas, some amount of money that you pay. You pay Kefil, Dalad Zehei, Oynes HaMefata, Moetzi Shemra, an amount of money. What if it's not an amount of money? Maybe Eloisi Elisha is also a Knas. Or maybe it's a din. Maybe it's a mitzvah. Maybe it's not. They say the Isha is a mitzvah says it. The Gemara calls it a lava mitek lese. If he divorces her, so then he doesn't get Malkus because it's a lava mitek lese. So that's a discussion in the later Achrayim. So usually this is the meaning of Moetzi Shemra. Otin Shemra means when the Eidei Habal, Hevi Habal Eidim Shazimsa, the Hevi of Eidim Hezimim Le'edi Habal, they give the three-part punishment to the husband, the Malkus with the Mea Kesef, with the Veloisi Elish. That's the Pashup Shat, what the phrase Otin Shemra means. Here there is an issue that's going to be relevant in learning the Gemara. It's a little bit Darshin and Taima Dekro. It's a little bit of a question. What's behind this idea that the Torah punishes the Baal so seriously that we make him pay Me'ah Kesef and he gets Malkus? So the Mishnah in Erechin draws a contrast between Oynes and Mefatah as opposed to Motzi Shemra. The Oynes and Mefatah only pay Hamishim Shekel Kesef, and the Motzi Shemra pays Me'ah Shekel. He pays twice as much. So the Mishnah says, you see from this pasuk in the Chumash that to say Lashon Hara is worse than to say Lashon Hara that a woman was mezana during marriage is worse than attacking a single girl, because the Oynes and Mefatah only pays Hamishim Shekel Kesef. And the one who said Lashon Hara about his wife, Hatzua Shemra, it was a lie, it wasn't true at all. So one who tells a lie, makes up a whole story, a false story about his wife, is punished with twice as much money. He has to pay Me'ah Kesef. So the Mishnah seems to say that the Yisrael Hashlum, and it's a punishment for which Aveira. So the Mishnah in Erechin, and that's the whole sugya of Lashon Hara, is in Erechin. Right after that Mishnah in Erechin. So the Mishnah seems to imply that the onish of the Motzi Shemra that the husband gets is because of the Lashon Hara, because of the false Lashon Hara that he said. And now there's a Gemara in Ksubis that Tosfos quotes on Ches on the Beis. The long Tosfos, the Hevi Ha'Avedim. So the last 10 lines in Tosfos, they quote a Gemara that says Ksubis Daf Mem Dalarim and Beis. 4 lines before that it says Zayin Ha'Avedim and Pirish Abin Atam. They raise an issue. That the Gemara says, the Gemara seems to say in Ksubis Mem Dalan and Beis that the special punishment of the Baal for being Motzi Shemra is because he was attempting to kill his wife. Not because of Lashon Hara, because of attempted murder. One who murders someone gets one punishment, and one who does attempted murder gets this punishment. Because the Gemara says, Motzi Shemra Laktana Potter. Why is he Potter? If the wife is not a Bas Mitzvah, because came to Lamotan and Mekayim and Memes Hayadov of Resaklu. Even if it's true that the girl was Mazana, she's not going to get the punishment of Einish Misa because she's a Ktana. So since there was no attempted murder of the wife, so therefore the whole punishment of Motzi Shemra doesn't apply. So this is Akasha that all the Rishonim are working on. The Mishnah in Erechin seems to say that it's a punishment, the punishment of Motzi Shemra is an Onish for the Aveira of Lashon Hara. And the Gemara in Ksuba seems to say that it's a punishment because of attempted murder. So there are 3 opinions in the Rishonim. How to resolve this apparent contradiction? So some Rishonim say the Mishnah in the Erechin is an Agadita. Not to be taken. Mishnah is trying to bring out the seriousness of the Aveira of Lashon Hara. So they said a little bit homiletic license. That's not the truth. The truth is that the oynish that the Baal gets is for attempted murder. As it says in the Gemara in Ksubis Daf Mem Dalet, Emem is Hayadov of the Sofus. The Rabbeinu Tam is stuck over here, so the Rabbeinu Tam has to give a different shot. So he says, no. The truth of the matter is like the Mishnah in Ksubis. It's for the Lashon Hara. Aye, but the Gemara says, the Mishnah in Erechin is for the Lashon Hara. That's not an Agarata, it's a Mishnah. Aye, but the Gemara says in Ksubis that if he's Motzi Shemra Laktano, he's Potter because there was no attempted murder. So Rabbeinu Tam says that's not what it means, even though that's what it sounds like it says. The Lamotu Lemekayim Mememes Hayadova Resaklu says that's not what it says. That's not what it means. That's not what it says. It means a different thing. Let's say a man builds up a case against his wife that his wife was Nensa. He bribes witnesses to testify falsely that someone was Ma'anis' wife while she was an Eishes Ish. And then it turns out the whole story is not true. You're Mazin Re'edim. So in such a case, Memes Hayadovar, you're not going to give Skila to the wife. Because she's innocent. She doesn't deserve punishment. So there wouldn't be, not only would there not be any punishment on the part of the wife, and there's no Kashazom on the Eidim Zayimim, because there was no attempted murder. They testified falsely that she was Nensa. There wouldn't be any din of Motzi Shemra either. because he really didn't. He said a bad rumor about it. He made up a story about his wife that she was Nensa. That's a humiliation. That's an embarrassment. But he didn't say that she did an avera. The punishment of Moitzi Shemra is for Lashon Hara, and it has to be Lashon Hara that she was Mizana Beratzen in such a way that she deserved an Einish Misa. So if he says she was Nensa, that's terrible Lashon Hara, that's humiliating, but there's no Memes Hayadav of the Saflu. And even if he says she was Mizana Beratzen, but she was a Ktana, so the Halacha says Pitu Ktana Einasu. Even if a girl before Bat Mitzvah does an Avera b'meizid, we say that it's considered as if it's b'shege, pita k'tana ainasu, because the katna is a la bardas. So even though the katna, the k'tana, does something amazing, it's considered as if it's b'shege. So the husband said lashon hara against his wife, that she was mezana b'katnusa, it's terrible lashon hara, it's humiliating, but it's not that high degree lashon hara that the Torah gives the punishment of Moitzi Shemra for. The punishment of Moitzi Shemra is because of lashon hara of a higher degree. If it's not an emes hayadav of the saklu, then there's no punishment of Moitzi Shemra, not because it's for attempted murder. No. The punishment of Moitzi Shemra is for Lashon Hara of a high degree. Lashon Hara of saying that she was Mezana Beratzen. So if the husband bribes witnesses to testify falsely she was Nensa, that's not that high degree of Lashon Hara. And even if he bribed witnesses to testify that she was Mezana Beratzen, but Bekatnusa, it's also not of that high degree. So that's the Yishuv to this theory. So these are two opinions in the Rishonim. Whether the Ikiv is really the Mishnah and Erechin, Rabbi Natan holds the Ikiv is the Mishnah and Erechin, and we should reinterpret the Gemara and Ksuvas. Moitzi Shema Laktana Pata, because the Lamatan and Mekam Emes Haidol is not because it's for attempted murder for the wife, no, because it's not a high enough degree of Lashon Hara. And the other Rishonim say, no, the Ikiv is really attempted murder, like the Gemara and Ksuvas, and the Mishnah is Agadate. And then there's a third opinion in the Shita Mekubetz, is there in Ksubas, that has a compromise, that the punishment of the husband is twofold. We give the husband malchus, and we make him pay meyer kesef. So the Mishnah in Erechin is working on the meyer kesef. How come by Yonis and Mephata is 50 shkolim, and my Moitzi Shemra is meyer kesef? So it says the payment of the money is because of Lashon Hara, and Hola Marita, that a person that says Lashon Hara, he makes up a story that something is not true, that's worse than actually attacking the woman. If he would have attacked the woman, even on a single girl, we'd only have to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef, and now that he said a false story about his wife, we punish him more, he has to pay Meir Kesef. So the punishment of the Meir Kesef, that's for the Lashon Hara story. And the Gemara that says in Ksuvas, Amoitzi Shemra Laktana Pata, because it's for attempted murder, that's on the Malkus. The Malkus is for attempted murder. Just like you have Edom Zaymimim, is attempted murder, Vasishim Lakasha Zamam, so we give them an Oynish Misa. So the husband, that's because the Edom Zaymimim, they mamish, they testify. Here, he's the Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aver. He bribed the Edom to give false testimony. He didn't give the false testimony. It wasn't Nigmar Din Al Pi Habal, it was Nigmar Din Al Pi Edom. But he had quite a hand in the whole story over here. He was the one who bribed the Edom that they should come and give the false testimony. He's also guilty of attempted murder, partially, but to a lower extent, to a lower level than the Edom, so we give him Malta. So we're going to have to keep in mind these three opinions. There's a long Rashi over here. There's a long Rashi where part of this is going to be relevant. Okay. So here, there is... So again, the Mishnah has the three cases. Dinim amanis b'shlosha adyotis et haidos avos. Dinim amanis gzeilos v'chavol v'shlosha smuchim that you don't say shmich v'sayu. But you don't really need a bezmer. If the baldova knows what he owes, so let him pay on his own. And then it says that in the case of Knas, then you really need the Bezin Likuvah. And he tells man you don't have a Bezin, there isn't even the Balot in the Shemayim. Nothing will be accomplished by paying on your own. And then why does it repeat again? Oynes and Mephata, Moitzi Shemes. Oynes and Mephata is a repeat. The Moitzi Shemes is repeated because of the Machloikis. Because the Machloikis are Me'en HaChacham. So the Chachamim say, Mephnei Sheyesh Bo Din in the Foshes. Since sometimes they will be involved in the Foshes, so therefore all cases of Moitzi Shemes require 23. That's what the Gemara doesn't understand. That doesn't make any sense. One thing, because once in a while you have, sometimes you have din in the fashas. Therefore, even in a case where there is no din in the fashas, what are they fighting about? Rav Meir is right, and Rabbanan just don't make any sense at all. So the Gemara is going to have a whole sugya. What exactly is the point of dispute between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan? Now, how do you translate the word Moitzi Shemra? So normally, this phrase goes together. Oynes mafata Moitzi Shemra. So normally, we know what Moitzi Shemra means, like Rashi wrote on the Mishnah. Moitzi Shemra, the husband brought the witnesses, and they were Huzmu, and he gets Malkus, and he has to pay Meir Kestes, and Loisei Elisha. A three-part package. That's the normal Pshat Moitzi Shemra. Rashi, when it comes to the Gemara, and the Gemara asks, what's the machlokes? Just because once in a while you have din in the Farsha, therefore you always need 23, the Gemara starts shooting off Ula's Pshat, and Rabba's Pshat, and Abai's Pshat, and Rapapa's Pshat, and who's the next one? Every Amora has another, Ravashi's Pshat, everybody gives another Pshat. So Rashi interprets, once you get to the interpretation of the Mishnah, what is the machlokes between a man and Rabbanon? We come to the realization that it's not really talking about Moitzi Shemra in its classical sense, Moitzi Shemra. We're talking Fakeret. Rashi quotes on Chesam and Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Rashi quotes the Gemara Ksuvah Zafyut, where the Gemara says that there is an institution of Ksuvah, Chacham Titlan Vereisol, the Psula Masami Amon Amona. The rabbis made a Tachana de Rabbanon that whenever a husband divorces his wife, or whenever the husband dies, so the wife is entitled to collect the ksuda. If she got married the first time, she gets masayim zuz. If she got married the second time, she only gets 100 zuz. And because the whole takon of ksuda is only mirabanan, that's why the rabbis believe the husband will have sida ksubas al piv. Why should that be so? Chazoke, we have a ruba de leisa kamon. Normally, this Mishnah Gemara, the husband had to pay for the wedding dinner. Today, it's a question that Moshe Feinstein has in the truth. How come the dinner is still on the books in Shulchan Aruch if today the minig olam is that the girl's father pays for the wedding? So the whole din shouldn't apply. It's a good question. But at least in the days of the Gemara, the husband paid for the whole dinner. Cost a fortune of money. So if the husband comes to Bezdin the next morning, they get married on a Wednesday, Psula Nisus Liyom Arvi, and then he comes to Bezdin the very next morning and he says he had a Bias Mitzvah last night and she's a Ba'ula and Pesach Asuach Matzasi, but he can't prove it. And she says, not true. She's not a Ba'ula and it wasn't Pesach Asuach. So whom do we believe? So we should assume that the couple got married. It's Becheskos at the Zachiv Ksuba. And the husband should not be believed to say, I don't want to pay the Ksuba. If it ever comes out that I'm going to divorce her, I'm going to die. I don't want to be held responsible to Beit Ksuba because she was a Ba'ula. The Pashta says you shouldn't believe the husband. So the Gemara says in Ksuba, on this daf, because the whole din of Ksuba is only with the Rabbanon, Chachamim, Tikna Lamedaisol, the whole institution of Ksuba, the Heim Heminu, because it's only with the Rabbanon, that's why the rabbi said we should rely on this Roiv. Normally, Roiv should be good, Lahachzik. Roiv is not good to host the moment from a Mitzvah. A moitzi mahaver, all of haraya, you need a raya limsa to be moitzi moment from a mukhra. But to be machzik moment, so we say, a raya is not a sufficient raya, it's not a strong enough raya to be moitzi moment from someone else on a mukhra. But over here, the husband has the money in his bank account, and he wants to relieve himself from paying the ksuba. So you really should say, whenever you have a raya, whenever you have a raya, the likelihood is that what he's saying is true. You should believe him. So the Gemara says Chazaka. Chazaka means the Ruba de Leisa Kamon over here. The Chazaka is, the Ruba de Leisa Kamon is that it doesn't make sense. The husband just spent a fortune of money last night for the wedding dinner, and then he's going to come the next morning and tell a lie. He's going to tell a lie, and then in order to part himself from the Ksuba, in order to divorce him, so it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, therefore, the likelihood is that the husband is probably telling the truth. So therefore, we believe him. So why does the Gemara say it's only because Ksuba is the Rabbanon? That's what it sounds like. Chacham Tiklam Reisel Ksuba. The whole Chacham is Ksuba is only the Rabbanon. So therefore we say, the Heim Heminu, Heim Omer V'Heim Omer. Since the whole Ksuba is the Rabbanon, that's the Machloikis in the Gemara, Tosis quotes. That's the Machloikis. Tosis quotes one of the Gemaras, and Ksuba is Naf Nun Vav. In the middle of the long Tosis, Moitzi Shemra, so they quote Ksuba Staftan Vav is one of the sources. The Gemara has every 15-20 block in Ksuba. The Gemara keeps on picking up the theme. It's Ksuba Deraisa, it's Ksuba Derabbanan. We pass in La Locha that the Ksuba is the Rabbanan. The Ksuba is not the Rabbanan. And that's why it's a Pele in the text of the Ashkenazi Ksubas. It says, B'chozi lichem ederais. It doesn't make any sense. And the Sephardish Rabbanan laugh at the text of the Ashkenazi Ksuba. So the Rosh stands on his head and he explains what it means. Doesn't mean this, and he yells, okay, Tashver Elosh. So we pass from our Locha that Ksuba is lav derais. Only one day in Tosis holds. The Ksuba is on Daf Yur. Tosis quotes one of the Rishonim passing Ksuba is derais. And that's not the accepted opinion. Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept that view. We pass on that ksuba is lav deraisa. Even if he gives her ksuba, if he wrote a ksuba and made a kabbalas kenya, gave her a piece of paper, that should be deraisa. No, it's still only the rabbanan. He just gave her a document to attest to the fact that the chi of the rabbanan is here. But he never intended to elevate it to the level of deraisa. And because ksuba is lav deraisa, therefore there are many kulik ksuba shanu kama. The Gemara has in various places in Shas. There are a lot of kulis when it comes to paying the money of the ksuba, because the olchei of ksuba is only the rabbanah to begin with. The all machlekes, of course, only is ksuba's besula. Ksuba of an almana for sure is only the rabbanah. If the girl is getting married for the second time, the girl is getting married for the first time, that's the machlekes, because it says kesed yishkol kemor habesulas. It says that anus and mafat have to pay 50 shkolim, because now that he was ma'anus and mafat to the girl, she'll never be able to get a ksuba's besula, which is 50 shkol. So because he's responsible for being mafsid her, he was ma'anis, or mafata her, he was mafsid her the opportunity to getting a ksuba of chamishim shekel kesem, so that's why we hold him responsible. That's why he has to pay the chamishim shekel kesem. So the Chumash is talking about the ksuba's pesula being chamishim shekel, which is masayim zuz. Every shekel has 4 zuzim. So 4 times 50 is 200 zuz. So that's the machlokes ha-tanaim. So some tanaim say it's in the Chumash. You see the ksuba is deraisa. The other time I'm saying no, that was the practice, that was the minig, this man batan Torah, doesn't necessarily mean that you're mechuyich to. The Torah fixed the amount of chamishim shekel kesef for anus mefateh because of the fact that the minig, this man batan Torah, was that people used to give a ksuba of 50 shkol. But the Torah never said you're mechuyich to pay 50 shkol for ksuba. The Torah made it in, you have to pay anus mefateh, but it doesn't say you have to pay ksuba. But that's the machloikis, and we pass from ksuba lab derais. Okay. But Rameir, here Rameir is involved in this machlok, so that's relevant here. Rameir happens to hold, and Ksuba starts to involve, that Ksuba is derais. So getting back again, so Rashi learns like this. When Rashi is commenting on the Mishnah, he tells you, Oynis and Mephata, we know what that is, and Moitzi Shema, we know what that is also. And Memesai Yadavar, Vyitro, so he gets Malkus, and he pays Chamishim Shekel Kesef, Veloisi, we know what that is. But then, the Gemara asks, how can there be a machlokes on Me'ana Chacham? It doesn't make sense because once in a while there's Din in the Fashas, therefore you always require Bezna 23, but we're not judging Din in the Fashas today. We're only judging Din in Mamad. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a special case. Once the Gemara comes to the answer, we're talking about a special case. Ula, Omar Ula, and Rabba Omar, and Abai Omar, and Ravashi Omar, Apapa Omar. Everybody's giving a different interpretation because the Pashup Shad doesn't make sense. So the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah is that you're talking about the Meor Kesef with the Malkus Yisroos with the Veloisi Elisha. But that's not going to go. That Pshat is wrong. So once you get to the correct Pshat, the Rashi says, oh, now we realize that it's not talking about the Meor Kesef. It's talking about the Hepsed Aksuba. What Hepsed Aksuba? The husband's coming on Thursday morning. He just got married yesterday afternoon. Husband comes Thursday morning to the Bezdin and he says, Pesach Pasuch Matzasi. And is them on the Hafsida Ksubasa, Haim Haiminu Lafsida Al Piz, Chazok and Enam Teref Besudim Hafsida. He wouldn't invest so much money last night if he plans to divorce her. So it must be that something came up in between. It must be that his time is really true, like the Pesach Pasuch Matsasi. And the Dintera now is revolving about the Hefsid Aksuba. Should we believe the husband to be Mafsid Aksuba, or should we not believe the husband to be Mafsid Aksuba? That's what we're talking about. The Tosis finds it hard to believe. Rabbi Natan says, what do you mean? The word Moitzi Shemra doesn't mean Moitzi Shemra. The husband is telling the truth and he calls it Moitzi Shemra. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So why do you call it Moitzi Shemra? We're discussing whether he is Moitzi Shemra or not. So call it Hefsid Ksuba. Why do you call it Moitzi Shemra? Then Tosis says, how does it fit into the Mishnah? We are Dandinik. The Gemara said, "You say shlichusai when haydos lahavos, because milsa deshchichav is bechisar and kis, and agzelus lahavos is no shlichusayu, because it's either lo shchicha or leiz bechistar and kisvan adiyam. The Taisus says, and what about dinei ksubis and gimel lamed aleph, the second Taisus in the Tat? What about a din tara of a ksuba? Are we dan bizman hazeh? What about Yerusha? What about matana? The Taisus says this is all included in hoidos malvoyes. That's what they say. Ksubasisha, Yerusha, matana, bekula nami labina derisha v'hakira. It's all included in hoidos malvoyes. It's milsha d'shchicha leiz bechistar and kis. Both benegir to Drishma Hakira and also benegir to Head Yotos that you say Shli Husayu and Ksuba. That's the end of the Taisus, the last 15 lines in the end. Umiyo Ksuba Sishri Yerushas Matanas Niskisha Bishahab Bichal Hodos Labos Kalha. Yeah, everything is Dosa Bishchich Beis Bechisan Kis. You've done all of these Taisus. You've done everything in one of them. So how do you read? Rashi Pshat doesn't read in the Mishnah. It says, Oynes and Mefata Moitzi Shemer. Oynes and Mefata need Shlosha Smuchim. And Moitzi Shemer goes on Hefzid Aksubit. You can be down with Shlosha Het Yotos. Should be included in the very first line in the Mishnah. Hados Abbas B'Shlosha Het Yotos. Why do you put it in the third section? That you need Dafke Smuchim, and before you have the Psaak of the Bezin, there isn't even a mitzvah loss in Shidei Shemaim to pan you, right? It can be. So this is the beginning of the problem here in the Gemara. You have so many pshatim. What do you have? You have Rabbah has Ula has a pshat. Rabbah has a pshat. Papa has a third pshat. Rambashi has a fourth pshat. All these pshatim in the Gemara. So Rashi learns all the pshatim one way. Rabbi Tam learns all the pshatim a different way. So it's going to be quite a confusion over here. Rashi learns the whole sugya is talking about hefsed aksuba, and Rabbi Tam learns the whole sugya is talking about paying Moitzi Shemer money, paying Meir Kesher. How can it be? So many Gemaras, and Rashi is going to learn everything one direction, and so Rabbi Natan is going to relearn everything the other direction. Very, very interesting Gemara we're going to learn now. Rashi was already aware that there was another pshat. Rashi on the base, on Ches on the base, before the lines become wide in Rashi, four lines before they get wide, the line right after the asterisk. And the Rashi say, right, there is the Mefarshi, there were those who interpret, called to be as mom and the Hoshmaitse, Ameya Kesef, the Av Tovala Baal. They're talking about Moitzi Shemer money. But Rashi knew Beruah HaKodesh that Rabbi Natan was going to disagree with him. Rashi had Beruah HaKodesh, but not necessarily on this occasion. How did Rashi know is the Mefarshi? How did Rashi know who was there? Obviously, there was somebody before the days of Rashi. So you take a look in this long Taisus on the days, Ches on the days. The long taste is the Hevi Ha'av, the last three lines. Will be Rishalmi Motza Rajbo, that's the Rash Mishans. The Rash Mishans found in Yerushalmi Plukta Damaroi. It's a Machlekes Amaram. Ike the Mefarish Plukta Rinyan Ksuba Kin the Mefarish Bekuntris. There's one opinion like Rashi, that the Machlekes Amer Nachachamim by Moshe Shemer goes and helps the Ksuba. Ike the Mefarish Lini Meislan Kin the Mefarish Abinata. So it's two opinions in Yerushalmi. What's going on in the Mishnah? So the Rabbi Natan is really loyal. Rashi Kulunot Zarel Al HaYerushalmi. Rashi is not at fault over here. The both interpretations appear in the Talmud Yerushalmi. But this is going to be something to have a whole blot Gemara, a whole Chesam and Beis and a whole Chesam and Aleph, and one pshat after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. Rabbi Natan says everything goes in this direction. Rashi says everything goes in that direction. Totally opposites from each other. Rashi says, we're paskining in favor of the husband. She loses the ksuba, because she was mizan. Rabbi Natan says, no, we're paskining in favor of who wins the din Torah? The girl wins or the husband wins? So Rashi learns, the husband is winning. The husband is winning the din Torah. And we're fighting, Rabbi and Chama are fighting whether they need a Bezna 3 or Bezna 23 to be mafsid her the ksuba. Rabbi Natan says, no, the wife is winning. The husband has to pay the girl's father, Meir Kesef. We just established he was not Nazanah. And he's paying Meir Kesef. Everything backwards. And the Machlekes Amen Rabbanu with the 3 of 23 is going to be, and that's in third. So each one is going to have to explain what the words mean, the Pirush Amilus, and what the ideas are. And each one is going to come up with tremendous Chidushim, Lahaloch, and Dinim Deraisa over here. In order to Zet time Shat in this Gemara. So maybe we'll just begin the discussion. On Chesam and Aleph, so the first question is a very good question. Just because once in a while, Chiyesh Badin and the Farsh is my hobby, just because once in a while, just because sometimes the girl deserves an Einish Mitzvah, so therefore, Moitzi Shema should always be judged with a Bezdin of 23. But right now there is no din in the first. So that was the first pshat. So let's do Rashi. Amarula, we're not talking about Moetz Sham, we're talking about Hefsek Ksuba. The husband comes and he says on Thursday morning to the Bezin, 9 o'clock in the morning after davening, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. And the din is Nemad Lahafsidu Ksubasa. Chacham is Tikna Lebenetzah Ksuba, the Heim Heminu, Heim Amar Veheim Amar, the husband is believed. The Rameya says, Bishloisha. Rameya says, Bishloisha. Hefsek Ksuba is Bishloisha Het Yaitas. Einis and Asat is Bishloisha Smukhin. And Hefsek Ksuba is what we call Moitzi Shemra. It's the beginning of a Moitzi Shemra case, but it didn't get so far that we were Mazim, Deidi Abab, they're on the way to Abab. Husband comes and he says, Pesa Pasoch Matzosi. So Rameya says that it's sufficient with a Bezna of three. And the Chachamim say no. Since it may possibly lead up to Din and Nefashis, even though right now we're holding only Din and Mamadis, the husband comes and he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzos. So Rameir says he can judge the case with a Bezin of three. That's what it says in Ksuba, Daf Yud. Chacham Tikna Ksuba, Ve'en Haminu, so Shlosha Hadiyotis can be done. So the Chachamim say no. Chashinan Lila'az. Mazalaz, the rumor. The rumor may go out that the husband just accused his wife of being mezana during erisin, and this rumor may spread. What do you mean may spread? For sure it's going to spread. For sure everyone's going to hear what's going on. For sure it's going to spread. All the neighbors are going to hear what's going on in this little village. So then there's a possibility maybe witnesses will show up and testify to the fact that she was taka mezana, and it may turn out to have a din in the fascist case. Pretty far-fetched, no. The Mishnah says in Makis, Bezna has a din in fash case once in 7 years as a katlanis. And one says once in 70 years as a katlanis. And you're talking about murder. Eishes ish is insa with Aiden, with Hasra. Witnesses there in the bedroom when the woman was on, what an idiot. She was on in front of Aiden. Two kosher Aiden are there. The whole story is wild. The Gemara has in Gittin, the Gemara assumes that the requirement to write the Zman of the Get is only Takan of the Rabban. The Gemara has a Machlok Zabiach and Meshlokish, if they might take the Zman of Gittin on Daf Yud Zayin. What motivated the Tanoim to institute this requirement of writing Zman? So one says, Shemi Yechapa Basachoyte. Maybe the wife will be Mizana, and the husband will love his wife so much that even if she's Mizana, he'll want to get her off the hook. So give her a get that doesn't have a date, and she'll be able to say that the get was given early and really was given later. So the other Amora says, what are you talking about? That's what prompted, that's what motivated the Tanoim to make a takana to require man and a get. Nuslo shchicha. What do you mean, the nuslo shchicha? Tyson says, nuslo shchicha. We know that nus, unfortunately, is shchicha. Nus, the edim, is lo shchicha. That you're going to give the death penalty, and because of the get, the husband is going to do this greatly. He's going to give the get without his man, and she's going to use this in order to be potter from the onish. This is lo shchicha. What? Far-fetched that you're going to give a person a nainish misa based on nus, that there are edim there. That's what it means, nus lo shchicha. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara is very strange. Chashinan l'la'az, yechoshesh, that the la'az means the rumor will spread, the word will spread, that the husband is accusing his wife that she was mizana, and maybe witnesses will come to substantiate the claim of the husband, and it'll turn out that we really have to give an nainish misa to the woman, not just to be mafsid or the ksuba, but to actually give her the nainish misa. So since it may develop into being in the fashas, so the Chachamim say, you already need Shloshim Na. Rameh Asava, in Choshishim Lalaz. You don't have to worry about that possibility. Rabban Asava, Choshishim Lalaz. The Chachamim and the Mishnah require 23, because they say it may develop into a case of being in the fashas way. So the Rashi Pshad is very strange. According to the Chacham, Choshishim Lalaz, you have to be concerned, maybe witnesses will show up and be able to testify the woman was Mizan. Mar says nus lo shchicha, nus be'edim and b'hasro. It's not lo shchicha. How is it? You have to be choshev for such a far-fetched thing. Then the Rabbeinu Tam Tain is usually the word laz means something that's not true. Shalom lahoti laz al gittin harishonim. This is quotes in gittin daf hei. Mar says yeah, you're not allowed to introduce any new chumras in later generations that they never observed in the earlier generations when it comes to gittin. Because people will say, all the women who got divorced in the earlier generation, all the gittin were no good. Now we're finally doing it right with this new chumrah that we just invented in That's Tavshin Samach Dalet. It just invented new Chumrah. So all the last 5,763 years, everybody was giving the Gittin without the Chumrah. All the Gittin are no good, and all the children are Mamzerim. And half the Jews in the world are all Mamzerim, because they're from the divorced woman who remarried with the second husband. So the Gemara says there, the theme is, you're not allowed to introduce any new Chumrahs in Gittin. Shalom lahotzi laz al Gittin Rishon. So the word laz means something that's not true. It's not true. So the moitzi laz, they'll say the get was possible, and it's really not possible. And here Rashi says, Shema Yetzei Chashina Lalaz, the word laz means the rumor will spread. Rumor will spread, and maybe some witnesses will step forward because of the rumor. It will come out the rumor is true. Not that it's not true, it'll come out that it is true. So that's not what the meaning usually is. Usually laz means a rumor that's not true. I'm going to say all the gittin that were given before Tavshin Samachdal were all no good. That's a rumor that's not true. All the gittin were always good. We invented a new chumrah now this year. So we recommend not to invent the new chumrah because people will be mighty laz. They'll spread a rumor, a false rumor, that all the gittin that existed all along were no good. But here Rashi says chashin laz means rumor may spread. And it may turn out that it's true, and witnesses will step forward. That's not the usage of the word laz. So these are some of the kashas that prompted Rabbi Natan to disagree with Rashi. The main kasha is only from Fata Moitzi Shema. Moitzi Shema doesn't mean Hefzik Ksuba. Moitzi Shema means Moitzi Shema. And Tosafot says more kashas. That the Gemara quotes a brisa on the top of Amud, the second line on Amud, top line on Amud Beis, a Tosefta, which quotes the Shita of the Chachamim a little more in detail than the way it appears in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir, and they hold that Moitzi Shema is Bechav Gimel. And the Tosefta says sometimes they agree with Rav Meir, and sometimes they disagree. They don't always disagree. Sometimes they agree, and sometimes they disagree. So they say Tava Mamun is B'Shlosha, Tava Nefasha is B'Esim Shlosha. So what does it mean Tava Mamun? So Rashi learns Tava Mamun, if the Baal is just coming to be mafsid, the wife's iksuba is bishlosha. Then even the Chachamim will agree with Reb Meir that it's sufficient with the Bezna three. Tava Nefashis means that the hefzik suba may possibly develop into a chi of misa for the girl, if there's a possibility of chashina lalaz. But Tava Mamun means if it's impossible, it's not going to lead up to the nefashis. The husband says she was mizana. I saw she was mizana. There's nobody else there. There were no Edith, so it's not going to lead up to any Edith Nefashis. He says he's not aware that there were any Edith. So you don't have to be concerned, maybe there were. He says himself there were not Edith. So Tosafot doesn't understand what it means, Tovo Mamon. Tovo, he is Tovea him. It should say Tovo Mamon. If the husband is Tovea the wife, the husband doesn't want to pay the Ksuba. So they don't understand why it says Tovo Mamon. He's Tovea him. The grammar is not correct. The other way around, it does make sense. The father is Tavea the husband. Tavo. The father is Tavea the husband to pay the Mayor Kesef. It says, the Mayor Kesef is paid to the Aviyah Nara, to the girl's father. So Tavo, we understand. It's Tavea to pay. But if you read like Rashi, Tavo Mamin, the husband is Tavea to be Mafsid Iksuvit. So it should be Tavo. Shouldn't be Tavo. He's not Tavea him, he's Tavea her. Furthermore, the word Litvoa means I want to be Moitzi Mamun from the Muchzor. There's a Tavea and a Nitva. The Nitva is the one who's Muchzik on the money. If I can't Tavea, the husband has the money in his bank account. The husband is not Tavea the wife. The husband comes to Bez and he wants to be believed that Pesach Pasuach Matzasi so that he shouldn't have to pay the Ksuba, but the husband is the Muchzor. So the word Tavea is out of place over here. Tavea is always the one, the Nitva is the one who's the Muchzik. The Tavea is the one who wants to be Moitzi from the Muchzik, and here, according to Rashi, Tava'o Mamun means the husband is Toveya. You can't use the word Toveya. The husband Tainas. You should use the word Tainas. The husband Tainas. Am I Baal Toein? Shulom Muchuyab, the Shalem et Aksubas, and then the Baal is a Nemon. And all you need is a business. The word Litvoya doesn't fit in. Ben Adam has 25 kashas. The kashas are murderous. The kashas are murderous. Well, we gotta go one by one. We gotta see how Rashi proceeds. Okay. What time is Mincha today? Anybody know? 1:30. So we got more time to learn. Okay. No one's going anywhere anyway. You sure it's 1:30? It's not really. Okay. So how does Rashi learn? Amarula, the Choshishim Lalaz, Tomech Ligi Lamir Tovar, Ein Choshishim Lalaz. How does Rashi read? The husband is coming to be matched with the Ksuba on his own say so. As it says in Ksubas, Vehem Haminul Aksida Alpif, based on his own saying. He says that she was Pesel Pasuk Matosi. So the Baal is Nemon Lahafsida Tsubasa. So Rameyah says, Ein Choshishim Lalaz. You don't have to be concerned about the possibility in the future that it may develop into Din of the Chosh. It's not going to develop, it's not going to go further. Rabban and Sari, no, you have to be concerned about the possibility that maybe the rumor will spread that the husband has claims against his wife. She was Mizana. How does he know? Because Pesach Pasua, maybe the witnesses will step forward and it'll come out that it will develop into a case of Din and Nefashis. So you already need now Din and Nefashis. It's also not to be understood. Why do you already need now 23? Because it may develop. First, the Gemara thought the Pshat was because once in a while, Moitzi Shemra involves the nefashim, so therefore you always need a bed in the 23. Gemara said, so why? Chiyesh b'din nefashim might have it, just because once in a while it involves the nefashim, so why do you need the nefashim? But today's case doesn't have. So Ula fixes it up, he touches up the pshat and says, no. The Rabbanu hold that since it may develop further, so this is Del Bakasha, so it may develop further, but right now we're holding only on Mominus. So what does it mean? And some of the pshat is that the halacha that requires 23 for a case of din and nefashis, that's what the chachamim are saying over here in the Mishnah. The halacha that requires the bezna of 23 for din and nefashis is not only if the psak, the intended psak, is going to be a matter of life and death. The intended psak, the husband comes Thursday morning, he's not interested in killing his wife. He says he doesn't care. He was madly in love with the girl and he was giving her gifts and he went through the whole wedding last night and now he lost his whole cheshi because he found Pasuk Pasuk Matzasi and he thinks she must have been the Zana Tachto during Erizin and right now he doesn't want to pay the Ksuban. He's going to see what's going to be. He doesn't know what's going to be. So right now he's not interested in killing the girl. He still likes her. He's still a little bit, but not as much as yesterday. Much less now because Pasuk Pasuk Matzasi. So he's not interested in killing her. And may turn out, Shema Chashina Lalat, Shema Yete Hakob, Yishmu Eidim Yavoyu, and it may develop later to become the Nefashim. So that's what the Chacham of all, Achidish. The Halacha requires a Sanhedrin of 23 for a case of Din and Nefashim, even if the psak that you're holding by giving now is just plain old Din Mominus. The husband is not interested in giving Din and Nefashim now. He just wants to be Mapsed Hodek Sudan. But since it may develop into a case of Din and Nefashis, it already is treated now as one of Din and Nefashis. This may but just be the icing on top of the cake. This may be just the beginning of the case. It may develop into Din and Nefashis, Hashin and Lalas. So I already consider it now as a case of Din and Nefashis. That's what Taisus discusses on the Mishnah. We never did the Taisus. I'm based on an hour. Taisus raises the question, how come there were cases that were left out. Hodlaitana Kaifa Shloshim Shalevet. On the third line in the Taisus on the Mishnah. Why doesn't it say that Kaifa Shloshim Shalevet Abi Shloisha? The Yesh Meforshim. The first Taisus says. It's not Shakhtan Tetakashim. But the Yesh Meforshim Mishim Nishar Misasa Bechav Gimel. Masha Ashev Eskila Ban Misham and Kaifa Shloshim Shalevet. So therefore what? So even though the Yerushim of the man who was killed, they don't care whether they're going to give the Shor Skila or not. They just want to collect the Kaifer. They're not interested in giving the Shor Skila. But when the Bezin hears the story and the witnesses step forward and they testify that the Shor Amud killed an Adam and the Bezin is going to task him that the Baal HaShor has to take over, then the Bezin realizes they have another problem on their head. The Bezin has to be done Din and Nefashis, even though they're not ready to be done Din and Nefashis today. Let's say you only have a Bezin of three. So let the Bezin of three be done the Din Imam in this aspect, and then tomorrow we'll convene a Bezin of 23. Next week we'll convene a Bezin of 23 and we'll be done the Din and Nefashis. So that's what Yesh Mefarshim say no. Since it may involve, it may develop to become a case of Din and Nefashis, or it will develop to become. Because the only time Tosafot quotes that opinion for Baal Kam, the only time the Baal Asher pays Kofer is in Mashor Misoso, Shem Misoso B'chav Gimel, Vashar Asher V'skila, Abayin L'Mishal M'Kof. En Asher V'skila, En Abayin L'Mishal M'Kof. That's one opinion in the Gemara. Machloek is Hatan. The Loker Ablezer. There's a Tan of Ablezer disagrees. And even Api Erech or Api Abayin, where the Asher does not get skila, because Kmisa Abayin L'Kaf Misa Asher. Just like you don't give Misa Abayin based on Api Erech or Api Abayin, so you don't give Misa Asher Api Erech or Api Abayin. So Ablezer says, nonetheless, but Kofer you do pay. Kofer is not considered knas. Kofer, you don't say moedah b'knas potah by kofer. Moedah b'shloshim shalavit is potah, but moedah b'kofer is chay. That's a mishnah in the end of Eil Anari, the last mishnah in Eil Anari says the fair is like that. That kofer you do pay al pi atzma. So Rav Lezer the Tana is only opinion that al pi edechad or al pi abaylim you would pay kofer despite the fact that ain't asher b'skila. The Tosafot says, but we don't accept Rav Lezer's opinion. We pass him like the other Tanoim in Bava Kama. That Imein Asher B'Skila and Abayin L'Mishal M'Kofer. So even though, right now, the Yerushim are only interested in collecting the Kofer. Or the owner, the Odin of the Eved, is only interested in collecting the Shloshim Shel Eved. He's not interested in giving the other guy Shor Skila. He doesn't care one way or the other. He wants to collect his money. He's out in Eved K'nayni. The Shor killed his Eved K'nayni. And he wants to collect the Shloshim Shel Eved. So nonetheless, that's what the Mishnah says. The Bezdin, that's how the Yesh Mefarshim says. You cannot convene a Bezdin of three to be done, the Kofer or the Shloshim Shel Eved, because it's probably going to lead up to a Din Nefashis on the shore. So we already declared the case as one of Din Nefashis. Even the momentous aspect of a Din Nefashis case also requires 23. That's the halacha. That's what it means, Choshishim Lalad. Ein chayshishim lalad means yes, not going to develop into a din in the nefashis case. See, by kofer shloshim shel eved, you only pay kofer if asher b'skila abayin l'mishal m'kofer. That's mamashin case of din in the nefashis. In order to paskin that the bal asher has to pay kofer shloshim shel eved, you have to ascertain that the asher deserves skila. So Taisa says in that case, for sure you can't be done kofer shloshim shel eved b'gimel. You have to have chav gimel, and you can't be done the mamnis without giving the einish misa. Because the whole case is labeled as one of nefashis, so even the mamonist aspect of the case also needs chav gimel. So that's how Rashi learns ula. Rashi learns Rameir Sovel Ein Chayshim Lalaz. Yeah, it's far fetched. What are you talking about? Husband comes. The husband is them to say Pesach Pesuch. The odds are 5,000 to 1, or 5,000,000 to 1 that Edom are going to come. Five trillion to 1. Edom are going to come and testify that the woman was Nizana. Edom and Mahasra. God, so far fetched. It's never going to happen. So the Rameir says it's not a case of nefashis. And the Chacham say no. Since it may possibly be a case of nefashis, so it'll turn out you didn't even have the right to be mafsid the ksuba based on shlosha. You cannot pass the ksuba. Since it may develop into nefashis, it's like the Yesh Mefashim said on the Mishnah. I already labeled the case as a case of nefashis, and even the moment aspect of the din of nefashis case also requires chav gimel. That's how the Rashi seems to be learning. Rashi going choshishim lalaz is premised on this Yesh Mefarshim's idea. Then Taisus doesn't like it. They say the din is not true. Taisus on Beis Amanala. They say that's not true. Vein and Irim. Ik Amorai Hasam Dirim Bavakam and Daf Mem Gimel. There are Amorai Mesei Tzara. Afili Rabbi Kiva Dorishim Kerev Rabbi Shaloi B'Kavona. Even Shaloi B'Kavona. Nu Shaloi B'Kavona, the shore killed accidentally. So just like Misa Balakaf Misa Shore. A human being only gets the death penalty for murder if he killed the Kavana. The Edom and Bahasra said the Shor only gets the death penalty if the Shor kills the Kavana. So there are many who say that we split between the two. It's not totally Zed to Zed. That's why Taisa is not so convinced at all of that pshat. But Rashi holds it, but the principle behind that pshat is correct. Rashi learns that that's what Choshishim Lalaz is based on. Yeah, the other answer Taisa gives is included in Chavolas, upon a Vashir. Sure, okay, the other answer. But the first answer, the Yesh Mefarshim, that's what Rashi holds from that Svari. He doesn't necessarily have to hold from that Pshat, but he holds that Svari is what's involved over here in the Choshishim Lala. Choshishim Lala. And Rabbi Omar, Rabbi disagrees with him. Lekulin Amal Lala, Loich Hashina. Why? Far-fetched. far-fetched. What do you mean? The husband, tainis, it's one chance in 5 million that it's going to develop into dinas hashem. Far-fetched. If it would really be a strong likelihood, then we would take a say. You cannot, maybe Rabbi would agree, you cannot be done even the mominous aspect of the case to Gimel, because the case is labeled as one of Din and Nefashis. It's a Din and Nefashis case. So not only the psak that's a matter of life and death needs 23, any aspect of the case has to be judged with 23. So maybe Rabbi would agree, but he holds in Choshe Shem Lalas, so far-fetched. It's not going to happen. But Rabbi Meir holds in Choshe Shem Lalas. So what's the machloek? It's Ocha B'choshe Shem L'kvodim Shal Rishonim Kol Nifligi. What does that mean? Ocha Ma'askin Kigon Di'ichnech Di'yash M'niklosa L'meidan Dini Nefoshes. The husband comes at 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning and he already did his research. Last night after the wedding he discovered Pesach Pasuch Matzos. Then in the middle of the night he was searching. He went knocking on everybody's door, 4 o'clock in the morning. He knocked on everybody's door in the village and he said, I just got married, what's going on, Pesach Pasuch? And then he gets two witnesses and they're coming to Besdin to testify, ready in the morning, Thursday morning. He just got married, Wednesday afternoon. Thursday morning, he's ready there with the two witnesses and the Besdin. So they already called him up and he says, I need a Besdin of 23, and the 23 got together. The next morning, Rashi learned. Very strange shot. He gathered together Ichnef, he gathered together 23 Dayanam Mendin and the Farshis, the Ivdir, and they disappeared. Why did they disappear? That's strange. The Bezin disappeared. So Taisus has to, part of what Taisus says is relevant for Rashi also. So Taisus on the top is quoting, this is Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yosheh. This Rabbeinu Tam appears in the Sefer Yosheh. And he really says what Taisus quotes him as saying. He really says what Taisus quotes. He really says it. So on the top they say, why was Ivdir, the third line from the top of Chesed and Beis, Ivdir Machmasainas, if they convene a Bezin of 23, so why do 20 people go away? They're supposed to sit in wait. Either Machmasainas, or Machmas Pachad, or Lahakbo Pnei HaMelech, or the Medida Segla Rufa, some pressing issue came up, and the Bezin disappeared, so you only left with three. So the husband says, all right, but it's Thursday morning, and last night I just got married. So the din is that I'm Nemon. The whole story is so far-fetched. What do you mean? Where did he get Adam? How is he going to get Adam in the middle of the night? And how did he gather together 23 the next morning? And then the 23 were there, and then they disappeared. Such a far-fetched case. And then he says, all right, the 23 disappeared, but let me at least take care of the half of the story. Let me take care of the din in Mominus case. Vamalahu, so the husband says to the Bezin, all right, the din and the fashas we can't take care of. Danali miho dine mominus. We dine the dine mominus. Because I'm Nemon, lav sidus the bosta alti. Rashi doesn't say like that in time. The Rashi says the husband said he's going to bring aid in the loy matzah. Rashi writes over here 10 lines from the bottom. Sh'oma abal lahavi aidin, the loy matzah. The Baal threatened he's going to bring aid in, but the aidin never showed up. If the Eidim would have showed up, so then it's Mamash Chayshi Shiv Lalaz. We're holding, there will be a case of Din and Nefashi. So Rashi would say you wouldn't be able to be done even the Hepsidak Sukkah, because the case is will. There's a strong likelihood it will turn out to be Din and Nefashi. So you don't have a right to pass. But he says, Allah Ba'alah the Eidim, Eloi Matzah, there are no Eidim, so Melu the Dayanim left. See, the Rabbeinu Tam couldn't say like Rashi. You're going to have to see what the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam couldn't say like Rashi. But Rashi says the Edom just never showed up. So that's a shaila of Choshishim Lekvod Mishal Rishon. I have to figure out what that means. Okay. Maybe we'll have a break from Minchah. One line after Minchah. No. This is a very cheerful subject.